Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Church Online, Facebook Live. Hope that there'll be some others joining us this morning. You know, there'll be people realizing, oh, they started at 10 now rather than 10:30. So if you don't see somebody who normally signs in with us on worship, give them a quick text, give them a quick call, tell them, hey, church has started. Where are you? Come on, get in here with us. You know, we're glad that you're here today. And just have a few moments to say good morning and welcome to folks. I look over here on the Facebook part of our meeting and get to say good morning. Hey, Mike and Kelly, Libby and Buck, good to see you. Hi, Holly, good morning. Good to see you. Hey, Joan, good morning. And Kathy Carroll, hey, good morning. Hey, John Evans, good morning. Elise, Joey, Nicoletti, good morning. Bob Hunt, good morning. Hey, Bob and Carolyn, wonderful to see you. Hey, Annie, good to see you. Kelly, all right, good to see Kathy and Steve Brunner, wonderful. Hey, you're greeting one another now. Hey, that's pretty cool. I like that. That's really great. Hi, Helen, good morning. Good to see you. Wonderful, wonderful. Lana Pittman, hi, good morning. Diana Findlay, good morning. Wonderful. Hey, Greta, good morning. Mom is here with us. Hey, good morning, Steve, Webb, Connie, and Ron. Jenny and Brian, wonderful. Hey, Robert, good to see you. And Deborah, good to see you. John Pittman, hey, Marty, Dylan, good to see you. Brian and Carol. Oh, wow, it's like family reunion time. You get to call out all these names. That's wonderful. Hey, Laura, Laura Lee, Bert, good to see you. Hey, Jeanette, Peggy Luke, and Rose, good to see you. Wonderful. Jeanette, hey, Bobby and Becky Valentek, hey, good to see you guys. Wonderful, wonderful. Amy Germain, Renee and Sue, Patrick Ellsmore. Hi, good morning, Patrick. Wonderful. Good to see you all. John Moorhead, Pamela Elmore, Kathy Albert, John Evans. Love these names. You know, you're just jogging your memory. We've been away from each other so long. It's just good to see. Hey, Norman, good morning. Good to see you. Paul Castile, Tom Wallace. Hey, good to see you. Alice, good to see you. You just keep coming in. Good. I'm glad to see everybody up and moving around and ready to join our new time. And this is really good. So I want to welcome you again and want to welcome the Lord. You know, I really believe Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, 6, and 7. You hear me say it a lot, but I really believe that. And it says in there, not only do you trust in the Lord with all your heart, but it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And I don't know how you do that, but acknowledging God is important. You know, like right now, I have my wife right here to the left and my mom to the right, and neither one of them want to be seen right now. So, but it would be rude for me to not acknowledge when someone's in your presence, you know, and it's important for us to acknowledge the Lord. He's with us. And we do that by prayer. And I want to encourage you to make that just a part of your daily life. I know we pray without ceasing. That's a continual conversation with God. I hope you have that. But also acknowledging God, just with thanksgiving. And so let's do that right now with prayer. Father, we just thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your presence. Thank you that we can trust you.
Yes.
You said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're always with us. Mm-hmm. You're so faithful, God. Not like us who sometimes we're on and sometimes we're off. You're always on and you're always pouring out love. You're always there to help us. You're always there to love us. You're always, your mercy is just new every morning.
Thank you.
We just thank you, God. Thank you for our church family. Lord, you united us through Jesus. We wouldn't even know each other had it not been for you bringing us to Christ. And now we're part of your family. We're your children. You're our papa. And we love you, and we come to join together this morning in thanksgiving to you and entering your gates with thanksgiving and praising you. So we thank you, God. We just acknowledge you. You're here. Speak through this broadcast, through the songs, through the message, and all to be glorified. May you be glorified as we present Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that sets us free. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to start off with a worship song, and here's the first one. We're going to do a worship song that Grayson has prepared for us, and so let's just join in together.
Say
righteousness.
Amen.
Thank you, Grace.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
How about that? Thank you, Lord. He is our righteousness. In fact, that's what I'm going to share with you today about the Lord being our righteousness. Mm-hmm. But before we get your offering ready, and it's important we do these things together, and then get your elements for communion together so that we can do this at the same time. Before we take up the offering in this service, let me share with you a couple of things. Jenny has sent out to everyone who is on our email list a survey, and about 10 questions. And it would be very helpful to us if you will reply to that. We want to open up here maybe in a couple of weeks, but we're going to do it in phases, and I'll tell you more about that later. But your information as we give you ask you these questions will be very helpful to us in being able to plan when we open up again and how we do it. I have a leadership meeting tonight at 7 p.m., and you're the leadership. You should have been contacted already and sent an email for that. That's at 7 p.m., and we'll be talking about some of these things and some of the information we have back on the survey as well. But right now, let's take up an offering by faith. We're giving our offering to the Lord. You know, this is the only place in your life on earth is where you're going to be able to give an offering to the Lord as far as money. And I want to thank you, first of all, for being faithful through the difficult times and uncertainty. The vast majority of you have been very faithful in your giving and your tithes and so forth, and I thank you for that. And we depend upon that, because without you being faithful, then I can't do what I'm called to do, and worship team can't do what we're called to do, and we couldn't have this broadcast. So thank you for your faithfulness. It's absolutely essential for us to be able to do what God wants to do when we all pool everything together, and we can accomplish a lot more than we could individually. So let's just hold up your offering before the Lord, your tithes, God's tithes. So always remember to say that. It's His tithe, not our tithe. It's His tithe and our offerings with it, if you add something to that. And Father, we just are thankful for the... You have always provided for us, Lord. You have given to us. You've taken care of us. You have showed us experientially. You're the one that provides for us. It's not we who provide for ourselves. You provide for us. This is your church. You provide for your church, God, through your people. Touch people's hearts. Give them specific leading about not only giving the tithes, which belong to you anyway, but also, in addition to that, offerings above and beyond that when you want them to do that and how you want them to do that. Thank you for being so faithful. Thank you, God, for providing for us. We know you're our source, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you have your communion elements, this is the time. Let's partake of communion together. And we look at the bread, and which represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus made it clear that the communion was not only to be remembered, but it's also a reminder of a new covenant. And we'll talk to you more about that today. So when Jesus took the bread, it says he broke it and he gave thanks to God. Let's do that. You do that as I lead you. Father, thank you for the body of Jesus Christ. And thank you for making us the body of Jesus Christ. And you said, take, eat this. This is my body broken for you. And we do that now in Jesus' name. Thank you. In the same manner, he took the cup. Hold up your cup, filled with the fruit of the vine. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is my blood, the new covenant. Mm-hmm. So God cut a covenant with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus and God. And now we're part of it because he allowed us to be part of that covenant. Mm-hmm. A covenant that could not be broken, a covenant that would be perfect, not like all the other covenants that man broke. This is a covenant that man cannot break. When he partakes of it, God and Jesus, God made this covenant with Jesus. Jesus made it with him, and now we're part of that covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often you do as you do it in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We appreciate you.
Yes, we do, Lord.
We thank you. We thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, now I want to go ahead and get right into the word for today. And I want to talk to you today about the name of the Lord is Jehovah Tsidkenu. That may sound funny to you, that name, but it means the Lord, our righteousness. And I've been praying about this a lot, that over this broadcast, I pray that it's going to open up somebody's heart. The word is going to open up somebody's heart and give them a revelation that they need about the Lord being our righteousness. You know, the Bible is very clear about how a person gets saved. Salvation is the forgiveness of our sins, but that's not all salvation is. Salvation is more than just the forgiveness of sins. If that's all it was, it would just be mercy. But the Bible makes it clear that you and I, the way we get saved is by grace. Grace is more than mercy and different from mercy. And yet people sometimes get them confused and we use the words interchangeably, but grace and mercy are two different things. What's the difference? The Bible says by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. So when people confuse mercy with grace, they are misunderstanding something very important. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Can you say hallelujah to that?
Mm-hmm.
See, people who have victim mentalities, and they say all the time, they're down in the mouth about not getting what they thought they should deserve in this life. You ought to stop and thank God you don't get what you deserve. Amen?
Amen.
But grace, on the other hand, is getting what you don't deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I want to help you understand today. It's vital to understand the difference, okay? We are not saved by mercy. We are saved, we're saved by mercy, but not mercy alone. Mm-hmm. We are saved by getting something in addition to mercy that we don't deserve, okay? If you say salvation is the forgiveness of sins, you're half right. But it's more than just the forgiveness of sins. You're only half correct if you believe that. Let's look at the history of mankind for a moment. Let's look at God's kids that he created, okay? From Abraham, you know, God was looking for a man that he could work with. He's looking for a righteous man. He picked Abraham, the father of the faith, to begin with. And then not only did he pick him and used him for a while, but Abraham messed up. You know, he had his flaws. He lied about his wife and all that, and then created Ishmael and all that. And then after that, God chose out of Abraham, there came the sons of Israel or Israel. And, they were to be the children of God. These are God's kids. They wandered out in the desert. They got saved out of Egypt, and then they wandered out into the desert, and they were supposed to go into the promised land. But that didn't work too well for them because they just didn't trust God enough, and they didn't believe God, and they didn't enter the promised land. So they fell short of what God's, and these are God's kids now. So the next generation is Joshua. Joshua leads a new generation into the promised land. Now they're in the promised land, but they still had problems going back and forth with idolatry and things like that. And then there's another generation called in the book of Judges, where the people of God, now these are God's people, went back and forth into idolatry, and they would forsake God, and then they would repent and have revival, and then they'd come back and be right with God. 350 dark years Then the first king of Israel, King Saul, and wasn't God's intention that Israel be led by a king, but they wanted a king so bad God gave them one. But then eventually God rejects King Saul because he rejected the word of the Lord. Then you have David, who was a man after God's own heart, but you know he had troubles, and there was a time there he didn't follow God like he was supposed to. Then you have his son, King Solomon, the wisest of all people in all the world, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, but Solomon's, all the wives that he added to him, it turned his heart away from the things of the Lord. And then you have the kingdom itself, the kingdom of God gets divided. Kingdom of Israel gets divided. The North Kingdom, South Kingdom, they both have their troubles with idolatry going back and forth. And eventually both kingdoms, the North Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom, go into captivity, one to Babylon and one to Assyria. So the history of man doesn't look very good. Is there anybody who's going to get it right? Is there anybody who's going to be God's kids and be faithful? Well, the sad truth is no, not one. Okay, what is man's problem? You got the perfect father. I mean, he's perfect in every way. He's good to us. He's kind to us, provides for us. He heals us, does all these things for us. And yet we just can't seem to be faithful. What is man's problem after God's been so good? Well, God reveals the problem to a prophet named Jeremiah. And this is what God said. Now, you can get the notes if you go to the website later. You can print out the notes and you can follow along with me because not everything's going to be on the screen. But in Jeremiah, God said to Jeremiah, the problem is this. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked and very sick. Who can understand it? And that's Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than anything else, he says. It's desperately sick. The heart is sick. That's what's wrong with mankind. Who can understand it? So you think about it. So God gave Moses the pattern of how you're going to worship with God, how you're going to have a relationship with God. So all the animal sacrifices, you know, then they had the temple, then they had the feast days, and they did all these religious things. You know, they'd bring offerings and sacrifices and the blood of animals and all, and make prayer and do all this stuff. And all they did was just become more religious. The heart didn't change. Even though they would go to church, they would go and pray, and they would give offerings and make sacrifices, there was still hypocrisy. The heart never changed. Man's heart was sick, deceitful, desperately wicked. So wicked. So what's the conclusion? Nothing works.
Amen, that's right.
Nothing works. Everything we try to change, it doesn't work. And it just seemed hopeless. And here is the good news. Now, I have to tell you, before the good news, the gospel, becomes good news, you got to understand the bad news. And the bad news needs to be really, really bad. And the more bad the bad news is, the better the good news becomes. You see? And so here in the book of Jeremiah, God reveals himself for the first time as Jehovah Tsidkenu, and he reveals the solution and how he's going to rectify everything. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 23, I want you to read this with me, verse 5 and 6. The scripture says, God says, "The days are coming that I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom and righteousness.
Amen.
And this will be his name." Say this part with me. "The Lord is our righteousness." Say that. "The Lord is our righteousness. In that day, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely."
Hallelujah.
Wow. Okay. So here is where God reveals himself to us for the first time as Jehovah Tsidkenu. Now, this is important for many, many reasons. For first of all, man couldn't be righteous on his own. He tried everything. He could be religious, but he couldn't be righteous. Mm-hmm. Now, he could have self-righteousness, but it would never equal the righteousness of God that God wanted to have. So God stepped in and did something himself. And here's another thing that he said, and you can go to my notes and get this. In Jeremiah 31, God says, here's what I'm going to do. The time is coming, he says, when I'm going to make a new covenant mm-hmm. with Israel and Judah. And it will not be like the old covenants. This covenant is going to be me putting my laws in their hearts. I'm going to put my laws within their hearts. I'm going to write it upon your heart. I'll forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sins no more. Hallelujah. There's a place to shout right there.
Amen.
So God is telling back in Jeremiah's day what the problem was, but what the solution was going to be. There's nothing man could do to fix himself. There's no religious acts that man can do to make himself right with God. Mm-hmm. And even when they would sacrifice animals, innocent animals, all that was a teaching tool, but it never did away with sin. It only temporarily covered sin. In fact, atonement doesn't mean that sins are done away with. It just means they're covered. And then they'd have to do it daily and then yearly on the Day of Atonement and so forth. And so it would have to be done over and over and over again. But sins were never done away with. Man was still not right with God. Why? Because his heart was desperately wicked. And God says the problem is you're going to have a new heart.
Amen.
Okay. You can't keep the same one and walk with me the way you are. You're never going to be righteous this way. Now, you remember in the Lord's Supper, when Jesus took the Lord's Supper with the disciples, he said these words. He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." It is the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, and you ought to read this later on, says a better covenant. The new covenant of Jesus is a better covenant, and he made the old one obsolete. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's no more. There are people today trying to live in two covenants, and you can't do that.
No way.
You can't live under the old covenant. You can't keep the law.
That's double-minded.
You can't do that. So this is a better covenant, which made the other covenants obsolete. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, back to the question. I want you to think about this. Is forgiveness enough to get a person to heaven? When you die, is having forgiveness, is that enough to get you to heaven? Technically, no. It's not. See, for example, here on earth, if you commit a crime and you go before a judge and the judge says, look, I'm just going to forgive your ignorance, and I'm just going to forgive your crime. You have mercy, but you don't have justice. No, you have mercy, but justice is not done. Justice demands that something be made right again. Mm-hmm. You see? Mm-hmm. And God is a just God. He's a merciful God, but he's also a just God. And being a just God, he has to present perfect justice, or else there's just mercy without the addition of grace. See, God cannot just ignore sin and still be just or still be righteous. So righteousness means that things are put right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And his standards, which are the law, must be kept. The law is not done away with. It's just the fact that man realizes he can't keep the whole law. And the scripture is very clear. If you broke the law in one point, you broke it all. And there's not been one man or woman ever been able to keep the whole law. Not one. And so God cannot, who is just, God cannot just forgive sins without justice being done. He would not be perfect if he did that. See, without justice, there can be no righteousness. Mm-hmm. Now think about this. Jesus astounded people at the Sermon on the Mount when he said these words. He said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll not enter heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now that shocked everybody, because the scribes and the Pharisees were the holy people of the day.
Or so they thought.
They were the religious leaders. They were your preachers, your evangelists. I mean, you mean our righteousness has to exceed their, they prayed more than anybody. They tithed more than anybody. They lived a separated life. They wouldn't go around certain people, go certain places, and you know, and all that stuff. And so the question would become, how can my righteousness exceed that of that holy man over there, of the scribes and the Pharisees, people that have dedicated their whole life to this, you know? And so Jesus went on to teach in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, let me show you how this works. If a man commits adultery, we know that he's broken the law of God. That's one of the Ten Commandments. But I say unto you, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Wow. See, the standard in this new covenant is much higher than just keeping a physical law.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a matter of the heart. Are you understanding? This is what God was after all along. Even when he gave the law, he wanted people to see that their heart was not capable of keeping it. So the point is, now the people would be asking the question, well, how can we obtain this righteousness? How can we ever? Is it hopeless for us? Well, it sure looks that way, doesn't it? See, righteousness with God requires a new heart.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot get righteousness with the heart that you have. You're going to have a new heart. Well, how are you going to get a new heart? See, the old one, God clarified, is desperately wicked. It's deceitful and desperately wicked. And so God said, this new covenant that I'm going to bring to you will include not only a new covenant, but it will also include a new heart, a righteous heart. You can look up later on, but Ezekiel chapter 36, God prophesied through Ezekiel, you know, thousands of years ago. God said, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put a new spirit within you, and I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes. It's not going to be you. It's going to be me causing. I'm going to give you a new heart. So we now need to ask the question, well, when did the new covenant begin? And how can I be involved in that? Well, you probably know the answer to that. The new covenant began on the cross with Jesus. When Jesus said, it is finished. And the veil in the temple that separated man from God was torn from the top to the bottom. At that moment, the new covenant began.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't begin in the book of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chapter 1. Mm-hmm. It actually, the new covenant began when the veil was torn.
Hallelujah. That's
a right. Brand new covenant. And there, on the cross, mm-hmm. hung Jehovah Tsidkenu.
Ah, yes.
The Lord, mm-hmm. our righteousness, made mm-hmm. sin for us, so that we could be made his righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, without his righteousness, you may be forgiven, but justice hasn't been done.
Mm-hmm.
See, God is a God of justice, and there on the cross, mercy and justice kissed. Mercy was given, but justice was given. Mm-hmm. The wrath of God came out in full measure upon Jesus, because Jesus took on the sin of the whole world mm-hmm. at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And there on the cross hung Jehovah Tsidkenu. Forgiveness comes because the righteous demands of God's law have been fulfilled. The wages of sin is death, It'll always be death. Mm-hmm. And there on the cross, the righteous demands of all the law were fulfilled in the one and only perfect sacrifice, the sinless Son of God, taking on our crimes and our sins. Mm-hmm. God's law has been forever satisfied in Jesus. You can never add anything to that or take anything away from it. Mm-hmm. God's law has been perfectly satisfied there on the cross, the great exchange. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
That's something to rejoice about.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Is it not? And now I want to read to you another scripture here in John chapter 1. Well, let me go back here. No, 2 Corinthians 5:21. You need to see this. One of my favorite scriptures. You take this scripture and you can use it to share the gospel. You can use one verse and it'll preach right there. It's the whole gospel in one verse. I'd like you to say it out loud with me because it's important for you, your ears, to hear yourself say it. Let's say it together. Ready? He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Yes. Let that sink in. Chew on that. That is the gospel. That is what we preach. That is why we're here. That's why I'm preaching to you. Our mission purpose statement says we are presenting Jesus. That's what we're doing. We're presenting Jehovah Tsidkenu, the righteousness of God. We're presenting him. He's the revelation of grace and truth that sets us free from the demands of the law. The law's been satisfied. We're saved by grace, you see. The grace of God is revealed in Jesus Christ. And it's one thing to know these things in your head, but it's another thing to receive it. And there might be somebody watching today who believes in God, like I did for a long time. I believed in God. I prayed to God. And every once in a while, I'd go to church. But I didn't. At that moment, I never received Jesus. And this is an important scripture. I want you to see this. As the scripture says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, Jesus, the Lord who is your righteousness, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. Children of God without a deceitful heart, without a wicked heart. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name. Now, why is this important? Because you could go to church, you could be watching online today, you could be doing a lot of things and have a belief in God in your heart, in your mind, but never have received him. As many as received him. And when you receive him, it's by faith in his word. And where do you receive him? You receive him in your heart. And he gives you a new heart. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to have issues still to work out. We have the flesh to deal with. We have to renew our minds and all that. But he gives you a new heart. He gives you his heart. And how you know you have his heart, you begin to desire the things that he desires. You know, and people are at different levels of maturity and immaturity. Some people may not read the Bible much, or they may not even go to church much, but yet they could be saved because they have God's heart. They've been born of the Spirit of God, but just haven't matured. And so, you may not be doing the right things that you should be doing, or you may be doing things you shouldn't be doing, and that never satisfies you. But deep in your heart, you long for the things of God. And when the Word of God is spoken like it is right now, you're drawn to it. You tune into truth because truth is just what feeds your heart. You want the things of God. And so there has to be a time in your life where you, by faith, receive this grace called Jesus and ask him to come in and give you his heart. Mm-hmm. It's a simple thing. I mean, if you've already done this, just be patient. Pray for somebody right now who may be watching who hasn't. You just didn't know. Nobody's ever told you. The Bible says it this way, that if you believe in your heart, that means that's the seed of your beliefs, the seed of your passion, that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he's alive right now, and you confess with your mouth the same thing that God says about Jesus, that he's Lord. He's my Lord. God says you'll be saved. So just in case there's somebody right down that's not sure, or you want to just nail this thing down, let's just pray together right now. Come on, just out loud, because you need to confess it with your mouth. Mm-hmm. Not with your mind, but with your mouth. Say these words to God, who's listening. He's right there with you. He brought you here. Mm-hmm. God, I do believe what I've heard. That you're alive. You're right here with me. I want a new heart.
Amen.
I want your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I want righteousness. I want to be right with you. And I can't get there on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I need the Lord to be my righteousness.
Amen.
Come on in, Jesus. I believe you are the Lord who is righteous, and you hung on the cross for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you're alive today. Come on in. Today, I start with a new heart and a new covenant, all based on what Jesus did. Come on in.
Mm-hmm.
Be my Lord, be my God, be my Savior.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Now, listen, praying a prayer is one thing, but believing in your heart is another.
Yes.
You need to believe in your heart. And God knows who believes and who doesn't believe. Okay, and so just be honest with God, and maybe you need to take this prayer a little deeper. Just go have a conversation with God, and you want him, and you want his new heart. He'll do his part.
Mm-hmm.
You just be real and open your heart to him, and he'll accept you and come in and give you a new heart. It's a new day for you. And if you prayed that prayer, or you just finally got things clear in your heart and mind today, let me know, okay? Send me an email, GaryWashburn@gracetab.org, or at the church, or on Facebook. I'd like to know about that. If you need some help from walking it out and so forth, I'd like to help you with that and give you some things that I think will be beneficial to you.
If you do struggle with unbelief, just be honest with the Lord and say, Lord,
yeah,
help my unbelief, because I know that's what I desire, but help my unbelief.
Yeah.
And do that.
God will
as
help
well.
You.
Yes, he will. He is faithful.
Yeah. Amen. And for those of you who are born again, it's just a good revelation. It's important to start confessing with your mouth the things of God. When we confess, once you're born again, don't say, oh, you know, our hearts are desperately wicked. No, not a believer.
Nope.
The believer's heart is not desperately wicked, because your heart's been, you've got God's heart.
Got a new heart.
Now, you may have issues, but it's not right. It's not correct for a believer to go around saying, boy, your hearts are desperately wicked. There's no, they've been healed.
Amen.
We have a new heart.
Amen.
Okay? See, the goal is not merely to do what God tells you to do. The goal is to become like him.
Yeah.
And the place that begins is with our heart. Our hearts have been changed. And we're becoming more and more like him. So now you have a new heart. You begin to desire the things of God. Now, listen closely, believers. This is very important for you.
Mm-hmm.
We think of the word confession in a negative too much. Jesus is called the apostle and high priest of our confession.
Mm-hmm.
Just confession means to agree with. And we need to agree with God. Yes, once you're born again, God doesn't call you a sinner. He calls you a saint.
Amen.
It's not correct for someone who is a believer, been born of the Spirit of God, to go around and say, well, I'm just a dirty old rotten sinner, got a desperate heart. No, you don't. No, you don't. You may not be acting right, but the truth is, God's given you a new heart. God doesn't call you a sinner. He calls you a saint.
Amen.
You need to confess what God is saying about you.
Yes.
And it's important for you to understand this. It would be perfectly right for you to go around saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In fact, you ought to be saying
that. You ought to be saying that. That's
if you doubt salvation, if you're doubting your salvation, then you're going around probably confessing more of the negative than you ought to be confessing the positive. The positive is if you've been born again, you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Whether you feel like it or not.
Whether you feel like it or not. That's the truth. And that never changes.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's not like, well, I've sinned and messed up and everything. God's righteousness never changes. Once you're in Christ Jesus, you are made righteous.
Yes.
Forever. Otherwise, you'd have to get saved over and over and over again. You don't have to do that. His righteousness, part of the armor of God. His armor, in Ephesians 6, and he tells us to put on, is the breastplate of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
That never changes.
Mm-hmm.
We are his righteousness. It's so important to say about you what God says about you.
Mm-hmm.
Confess out loud. The Lord is my righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So especially if you struggle with doubts about salvation, start confessing this name the Lord has revealed to you today. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is my righteousness.
Yeah.
And that never changes. Even when I sin and mess up, in my account with God, I am 100% righteous, mm-hmm. 24/7, all the way to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I told you that's good news. You needed a heart transplant. You needed a heart change. If you're born again, God's giving you a new heart
mm-hmm.
and a new covenant. Not based on your works or your ability, based on Jehovah Tsidkenu, mm-hmm. the Lord who is our righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, amen. I hope amen. That blessed
Thank you, Lord.
Encouraged your heart. We have one more song. Don't go anywhere. This is going to bless you.
Yes.
We want you to enjoy this
and receive.
Worship and receive a blessing. This is called the blessing. And the words are meant to bless you and be upon you.
Mm-hmm.
Let these words from Michelle just minister to your heart.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you so much, Michelle and Anthony. Mm. God is for you. He loves you. He's your righteousness. Mm. He's your righteousness. Mm. He loves you so much. Enjoy His presence with you wherever you go, whatever you do today. Know that He loves you and your church family loves you. Mm-hmm. Your pastors love you. Yes. We appreciate you.
Yes.
And we just pray that blessing upon you today. That you just savor mm-hmm. His presence, mm-hmm. enjoy His presence yes. throughout the day, and confess throughout the day, throughout the week, the Lord is my righteousness. Oh, that takes the burden off of you, takes the stress off of you. It is His righteousness. And join with us. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to join with us Wednesdays at 6:30 mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. And now may His blessing be upon you and your family and your children mm-hmm. And their children mm-hmm. to 1,000 generations in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We love you. Thank you for watching with us today.